Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Biweekly Report for February 2nd, 2026. I'm Phil Adler. Long-term government debt issued by advanced economies seems like a less attractive investment these days for safety-conscious investors. In his latest report, Confluence Associate Market Strategist and Certified Business Economist Thomas Walsh calls this the erosion of exorbitant privilege for these advanced economies. And Thomas joins us now to explain why this development has significant implications for investors. Thomas, you begin your report by looking at Japan, where the new prime minister has called a special election to bolster support for her plan to cut taxes. Japan's public debt, already very large, may be getting even larger.
Initially, when Prime Minister Takaichi took office, markets were nervous about her fiscal plan. But those fears subsided when it became clear she lacked the parliamentary support. Now with this snap election aimed at securing a majority, investor anxiety has returned in full force. The concern is that unfunded tax cuts will exacerbate Japan's already staggering debt burden. The market's response has been unambiguous, a sell-off in Japanese government bonds pushing yields significantly higher as investors demand greater compensation for the perceived increase in risk.
And tell us, Thomas, how this situation has rippled throughout the world.
The repricing of Japanese risk is sending a powerful signal globally. It's forcing investors to re-examine the debt sustainability of all major advanced economies, including the United States. The underlying fear is that nations that loaded up on debt during the pandemic may face growing market discipline. In response, we're seeing two key defensive shifts, a flight to traditional hedges like gold and silver, and a pronounced move to reduce duration, meaning investors are abandoning long-dated bonds in favor of short-term securities to minimize interest rate and refinancing risk.
So let me get this clear. As deficits rise for advanced economies, governments, including our own, are forced to issue shorter-term debt to attract investors.
Precisely. This is the dynamic we're now observing. Investor appetite for longer duration debt is drying up, and governments are being pushed to shorten their borrowing to meet market demand. We see clear evidence in Japan, which has halted issuances of 40-year bonds and scaled back 30-year sales. The U.S. Treasury, while in a stronger position, is also responding to leaning more heavily on Treasury bill issuance. The shift helps placate the market in the near term, but fundamentally changes the debt profile of these nations.
Thomas, I want to get back to the title of your report, which is The Erosion of Exorbitant Privilege. Why has this ability to sell long-term debt been an exorbitant privilege for advanced economies?
When I say privilege, I'm referring to the maturity structure. For decades, developed nations have leveraged their high creditworthiness to borrow enormous sums over very long time horizons, 10, 20, sometimes even 30 years. This locks in low, stable financing and virtually eliminates near-term rollover risk. In contrast, emerging markets are often trapped in a cycle of short-term borrowing, constantly needing to refinance. This disparity has provided advanced economies with a profound insulation from liquidity crises. What we're seeing now is the early stages of that privilege eroding.
So, advanced economies are now becoming like emerging markets?
So it's a stark comparison, but there's a crucial distinction. While they may not face an immediate emerging market style crisis, their access to long end of the yield curve is becoming constrained. The core issue is trust. To convince investors to lock up capital for decades, governments must present a credible, sustainable fiscal path. In the absence of that, markets will force them into shorter maturities, which over time introduces vulnerabilities that were previously the hallmark of less developed nations.
And Japan, where the financial system has for years been stable, despite a huge debt-to-GDP ratio, is becoming the poster boy for a new economic threat?
Well, I think so. I think we are witnessing a pivotal moment where markets are actively repricing Japanese sovereign risk. Similar to the UK's gilt crisis under Liz Truss, Japan is facing a concurrent sell-off in both its bond and its currency, a classic warning sign. However, Japan's deep structural buffers, its massive domestic savings pool, and the long average maturity of its existing debts has so far prevented a full-blown panic. But it is a stark warning sign.
Why is this move by investors to shorter-term government debt potentially so damaging?
You know, it's damaging because it's a dangerous trade-off. While shortening debt calms nerves today, it amplifies future rollover risk. The government must constantly return to the market to refinance. In a low-rate environment, this is manageable. But if inflation proves sticky or a crisis of confidence emerges, causing short-term rates to spike, it could quickly trigger a liquidity crunch. You know, Japan isn't at that brink, but the pathway to such a scenario becomes much shorter.
Do you see a crash ahead?
Well, an outright crash is not in our base case scenario. Japan's bonds retain their investment grade status in auctions while strain continue to clear. The more profound risk is a gradual but seismic shift in global perceptions. If Japanese government bonds lose their status as a perennial safe haven, it would impose severe constraints on the Bank of Japan. Central banks, like the Bank of Japan, could be forced to prioritize financial stability over inflation control, potentially leading to a prolonged tolerance for higher inflation to prevent a bond market meltdown.
Well, how should investors react to all this?
Maintaining broad diversification is essential to mitigate the risks of regional market volatility. Gold and silver are particularly well positioned to benefit from this environment as investors pivot away from sovereign debt in search of more resilient asset classes.
And Thomas, how do Confluence investment portfolios reflect this new reality?
You know, our portfolios have been positioned for this evolving theme. We maintain strategic allocations to precious metals and select foreign equities. Concurrently, we have started to shorten the overall duration of our bond holdings. This balanced approach is designed to provide resilience, capitalize on trends we've discussed, and buffer against the growing concerns over debt sustainability in the developed world.
Thank you, Thomas. The title of this week's report is The Erosion of Exorbitant Privilege, and you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice, and this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.